want you to think back to a time when you were a child. What were some of the things that caused you to be afraid? Perhaps looking back on those fears now, you might think that those fears weren't really all that rational. But fear isn't something that's always open to reason, is it? Sometimes our fears make absolutely no sense at all. And yet those fears seem to take up space in our minds. They sometimes even feel like they take up space in our guts. Sometimes fear can seem to be all-consuming. A lot of children, they are afraid of the dark. Was that one of your fears when you were growing up? You know, as a youngster, that really wasn't one of mine. I don't remember asking mom or dad to come and check under the bed or in the closet to make sure there wasn't some kind of monster lurking in my bedroom. In fact, when we moved to a new house, when I was about 4 years old, the basement bedroom that was meant to be my older sister's bedroom became mine because she was afraid of the dark and I wasn't. The fact that mom and dad were sleeping in a room on a different floor than me didn't matter to me whatsoever. But you know, it's interesting how there was a time when I was a teenager when the darkness around me seemed to tap into a fear that was within me. I was leading a church camp of boys between the ages of grade 5 and grade 7, and one night we decided that we'd take all the campers. We take them away from the cozy cabins and the security of the camp, and we would go and tent out in the bush. I can remember sitting around the campfire with the boys and the other leaders, and everything being fine. But later that night, after we had put the fire out and everybody had gone to bed, I can remember it being absolute darkness. Couldn't see anything in front of me. Couldn't even see my hand in front of me. And although I couldn't see anything, I could certainly hear things. And we were in the bush. And it felt like there were dangerous animals lurking everywhere. Now, there probably were just squirrels. But to me, they sounded enormous. And it seemed like there was a fear that seemed to grip me. It was hard to get to sleep. The only thing that really made things feel better was when the light of the morning appeared. Today, as we continue our generation to generation Advent series, if you were with us last week, you may remember how we were reminded that there's room for every story. Well, today, through our scripture, I believe that God wants us to know that God meets us in our fear. In our passage from Luke's Jesus story today, we heard the story of the Annunciation. A story that spoke about what happened when Mary was first told that she was going to be having a baby. And our passage this morning opened in this way. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in the town of Galilee, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. I want to invite you to enter into the story with me this morning. Perhaps you can imagine yourself in the person of Mary. Perhaps you are there simply as somebody watching the story on the sidelines, watching the story unfold. You know, I often think that when people think of Mary, And the fact that she was already engaged to Joseph, I think sometimes people assume that Mary was at least in her late teens, if not even in her early 20s, when she received the news. That's because nowadays, that's around the time when engagements take place. But very likely, Mary is much, much younger. Very likely, she's barely a teenager. Back in those days, betrothals happened much, much earlier. In fact, betrothals could happen shortly after a child was born. Parents would arrange that their little baby girl, when their girl reached a certain age, that she would marry the person that they had chosen for her. Very likely, Mary had known from the time she was a child that she was going to one day marry Joseph. And often, marriages would take place shortly after a girl reached puberty. Very likely, Mary had barely passed the age of there even being any possibility of her being able to conceive. She's barely even a teenager. And yet one day when she's on her own, an angel appears and visits her. And listen to the angel's words to her. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Can you imagine what that experience might have been like for Mary? Can you imagine minding your own business and suddenly an angel appearing to you? Now, I think many of us in our kind of self-inflated view of our relationship with God, we might think, oh, what a wonderful experience that would be to meet face to face with a messenger of God. And I think in our naivety, many might think, what a blessing that must have been for her. But let's think about this realistically. How often have you met with an angel? How often have you been given a direct message from God? And I don't just mean a little sense inside of you that God might be speaking to you. I'm meaning a direct encounter. How many times do you think Mary had such an experience before? I doubt that it ever had happened to her. I'm not even sure that the possibility of such an experience would ever really have crossed Mary's mind. Likely the people that she knew didn't typically have encounters with angels. And who was Mary anyway? It wasn't as though she was some kind of pillar of the community. It wasn't as though she was some kind of great religious leader, someone for whom people gravitated towards because when they did, they felt particularly close to God. No, Mary was just a poor peasant girl. Other than some of the people who probably lived close by to her, I'd say that likely there were many people in the wider community that might not have even known who she was. And yet a messenger of God visited her. Imagine what that might have been like for Mary. Luke tells us what the encounter was like. He tells us how the greeting of the angel affected Mary. Did you notice how she responded? The sense I get is that Mary was absolutely speechless. The sense I get is initially that she didn't know what on earth to say. Because initially there are no words from Mary at all. It just says Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. You know, I think Luke saying that she was greatly troubled, I think that's probably a bit of an understatement. And then when the angel goes on to say, "Do not be afraid," the angel says, "Do not be afraid." It makes me kind of wonder how much more out of touch could the angel have been? I mean, do not be afraid? Are you kidding me? Does it even cross the angel's mind what this young teenager is experiencing for the very first time? I mean, sure, to an angel, being visited by an angel might have seemed like everyday stuff. But couldn't the angel have tried to think of things a little bit more from the perspective of Mary? Do not be afraid. You know, over the years, from the time leading up to Mary, from generation to generation, there were times when people had been afraid of much less than what Mary was experiencing this day. To say to her, "Do not be afraid," seems pretty unrealistic, if you ask me. And to put Mary's fear in context, just imagine the rest of what the angel said to her. "You're going to have a child. You're going to give birth to God. And he's going to be given the throne of his father David. David, who lived some 28 generations before you, he's going to be given that throne. But don't be afraid, Mary. This is nothing really. Cheer up. Just get on with things. Even though your world is being turned upside down right now, even though everything you've ever thought your life might turn out like is being changed around completely, don't be afraid." Mary was a teenager. Mary wasn't married. Unlike today, when many people have children before they're married, back in Mary's day, that didn't happen all that much. And if it did, it brought disgrace to the family. Remember, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. He would have had every right to say, "Well, the wedding's off now." And then Mary would have been on her own. A young woman caring for a young child. Back then, unwed mothers would often struggle to survive. For the angel to say, "Do not be afraid," I'm not sure I can imagine words fitting the situation any less than those words from Gabriel. And even saying, "God's behind this," I'm not so sure that would have made things all that much better. Have you ever had somebody ever try to theologize or spiritualize you out of what you're feeling? Have you ever experienced somebody try to say, "Well, they're there now. You should be looking on the bright side. Just have a little bit more faith and you will be feeling so much better." Mary's world was turning upside down. Everything she had ever known, everything Mary had ever expected her life to be like, all of a sudden that understanding would have been spinning around inside of her. For the angel to say, "Do not be afraid," I'm not sure I can imagine any worse words in light of the situation. And you know, I think often when we think of Mary, we let ourselves move on past this part of the story far, far too quickly. We focus on Mary's faithfulness. We focus on Mary's willing obedience. We focus on the fact that the trust that she displays when she says yes to the call of God. And I just want to say that obedience, that trust, and that willingness to say yes to the call of God, all those things are important. But I wonder if today God is inviting us to linger just a little while longer with Mary in her fearfulness. Because there are times for every single one of us that we experience fear. And I think there are times when we worry that the fear says something negative about our relationship with God. I think we fear that it says something negative about our faithfulness. It says something about what we're thinking about God. But somehow it makes us feel a bit unworthy of going deeper with God. As though our fear seems to separate us from God. But I just want to say, I don't believe for a second that it does. I don't believe for a second that God's back turns towards us when we experience fear. I don't believe fear is in any way unholy. Nor do I believe that God thinks our fear demonstrates a lack of faith in us. When I think of the life of Jesus and the life that he lived, I see someone whose life was absolute faithfulness. One whose life was one of holiness perfected. But can you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? On the night before he was crucified. Remember after he'd left the disciples and to go off to pray? Remember what was going on inside of him? Remember his prayer? Lord, take this cup from me. I think in that moment, Jesus was experiencing fear. He feared what was coming. He feared what he was going to have to endure. Did that make him unworthy? Of course it didn't. Just made him human. I don't believe that when the angel went to speak to Mary, the most important words to her in that moment were, "Do not fear." I believe far more important were the words that even preceded those. When the angel said to her, "Mary, the Lord is with you." That's what Mary needed to hear. That's what Mary needed to hold on to. It wasn't that she had no reason to fear, but rather that in the midst of the fear that she was holding on to, God was right there with her. Think back to when you were a child and those times when you were afraid. Did mom or dad ever say, or if they did it ever help them saying, "Oh, you're just being silly. There's no reason to be afraid." If you were one who was afraid of the dark, if you were one who was afraid of what was lurking under the bed, did it ever help to have mom or dad shout up from downstairs, "Oh, there's nothing under the bed that can hurt you"? If they would have said that to you, it wouldn't really have made all that much difference to how you were feeling in that moment. Because fear doesn't respond to logic. Rarely, if ever, can we be talked out of our fear. But when you were young, if when you were afraid, didn't it make all the difference if maybe mom or dad came to where you were? They came up to the bedroom and said, "I'm here with you. And because I'm here with you, you don't need to be afraid." Mary had every reason in the world to be afraid in that moment. every reason in the world to be wondering what on earth was going on. And while the angel may not really have been all that helpful in saying, "Mary, don't be afraid," something what the angel did say could make all the difference. And those were the words, "Hey Mary, the Lord is with you." In Psalm 23, the psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Far more important than being told that we shouldn't fear is the comfort of knowing that in the midst of our fears, God is with us. And you know, when I think of Mary, very likely she probably needed to remind herself of those words again and again and again. By the time we come to the end of our passage today, Mary has said yes to God. Remember her words. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Those were words of courage. They were words of trust. They were words of faith. But do we think for a moment, from the moment the divine child was conceived in her by her saying yes to God, do we think that from that moment on, everything from then on was smooth sailing for Mary? Do we really think that from that moment on, all her fears completely disappeared? I doubt it. I think there still would have been fears twisting around inside of her. What do I say to Mom and Dad? What do I say to Joseph? I still think there would have been moments of fear. And you know, rather than anybody telling her that she shouldn't be feeling that way, rather than anybody telling her that she should just get on with things, I believe that Mary likely did something far more effective and helpful. I don't think she tried to pretend the fear wasn't there. I don't think she simply tried to just put on a brave face. No, I think instead she allowed herself to be where she was in her fear. And in that context, I believe likely again and again and again, she had to remind herself of the angel's words to her, "Mary, the Lord is with you." I want to ask you, what do you fear? What is it that the fears that surface in you at times? Where is God in the midst of your fears? Where is God in the midst of your fears? And how have you allowed your fear to prevent you from hearing what God is saying to you? And what are you hearing God saying today? You know, when I look out on the world, I'm keenly aware of the struggle and pain many people are experiencing. I'm keenly aware of people experiencing grief, people who seem to be caught in the clutches of fear. Now, in faith communities, it can be very tempting to try to help people get out of those places where their emotions are raw and sometimes unwieldy. And it can be tempting to just focus on the good things of God, an attempt to shift people's attention to something far more positive. And you know, I think there's times when we even try to do this to ourselves. We get down on ourselves and say, well, I should be past this by now, past this fear, past this pain. I should be past this. And we try to pull ourselves out. But what if God is saying something different today? Rather than God saying, you really shouldn't fear, what if God is saying, in the midst of your fear, know that I am with you? Jesus experienced the ultimate fear, the fear of his own execution. I don't believe there's any fear we can ever experience where Jesus would say, oh, I just can't handle that. You're on your own from here on. No, Jesus sits with us in the midst of all of the stuff that we're going through. Jesus sits with us in the grief, in the pain, in the questions, in the fear. And he says clearly to us, I'm not going anywhere. To you and to me, Jesus says this day, know this. Know that I am with you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we recognize that there are times when we let our fears kind of overwhelm us, and it's often because we just forget where you are. We thank you that you accept us where we are, that you meet us right where we are. You don't tell us to change before you're willing to meet with us, but you meet us right where we are. We thank you that you even meet us right in the midst of our fears. Lord, help us to remember that you are there with us. Help us to look for you around us. Help us to take hold of your hand as you walk with us in our fears. We ask these things in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.